Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you, always.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said to R2-D2, hello there. This is Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am your host this week. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. My co-host, Mark Donica, is sadly not in town right now, but he will be back in the cockpit, as it were, next week. We have a great show for you. We're going to talk about romance in Star Wars, romance in space, space, love. That's three different ways to say the same kind of creepy thing, but it will be great. We can talk a little bit of news, some weird questions for the guests, and then we'll get into romance in Star Wars. We have two awesome returning guests here to Jedi Alliance. Jenna Bush.
Hello.
And Joe Ruggiero.
Well done.
Did I get it?
You did, and we didn't even like go over
it. Yeah, we did not rehearse.
That's impressive. No one ever gets it right the first
time. There is no rehearsal on Ruggiero.
I can butcher it for you if you'd like.
Most people do.
I will try to use your full name for the whole podcast so I get just an hour of practice.
I like that. I'm good with that.
Excellent. Jenna, can you tell the people watching and listening just a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay. I am the founder and editor-in-chief of Legion of Leia, which is a geek site dedicated to geek news and especially women in geekdom, though half of our readers are men. I also co-host Most Craved on ComingSoon.net, Crave Online, and Superhero Hype, and we talk about nerd things as well. I have a chapter in a book coming out on October 27th, Star Wars Psychology, Dark Side of the Mind, and I used to do a show with Stan Lee called Cocktails with Stan.
Cool. For the Star Wars Psychology book, is the whole book called Dark Side of the Mind, or is that your focus?
Oh, no. It's Dark Side of the Mind is the whole book, but
awesome.
I did two chapters. I co-wrote two chapters in there. One is an interview with Sam Witwer, who is the voice of Darth Maul.
Excellent.
And one is a chapter with Dr. Janina Scarlett, and it's about being a Jedi.
And Sam Witwer is the voice on the Clone Wars, correct?
Yes.
And how about you, Joe Ruggiero? Tell the people about yourself.
I wish you'd asked me first, because I don't do anything that cool.
Jenna is one of the best people ever. I do a podcast called Obsessed, and I always ask this. I ask people, how might people know you? What do you do? And Jenna is the best ever at answering this question.
Yes. She's it sounds so much more impressive.
She has her resume, I think, tattooed on her eyelids.
She does.
So she can get to it immediately. And I mean that as a compliment.
I don't ever sleep.
No, it's really good. Well done. I do stuff. I would say I'm a comedian / freelance writer / giant dork.
Okay, and you have a background as a stand-up comedian. Like, you've done stand-up comedy, and what you're, actively doing now is writing for hire comedy stuff, right?
Yeah, I've gotten off the stage because enough people yelled that at me that I took their advice.
And, did they literally say, give it 2 or 3 years, but then get off the stage?
Pretty much. My favorite was the lady who, in the middle of the worst show I ever did, just looked up at me and said, "Oh, honey, just stop."
Oh,
please just stop.
That's really kind of supportive, maternal.
She wasn't heckling. She was just really tired of watching me suffer, and somehow I kept going for 4 more years. Now I'm just more of the writing side of things for various outlets, and a former intern on the Schmoes No Movie podcast.
Oh, nice.
Woo!
Remember that?
Awesome. Well, we're very glad to have you here. I think you're extremely funny, and I will not yell at you to get off the stage.
Promise.
At any point.
I won't either.
I'm holding you both to that. Very, very insecure about that sort
Excellent.
Of thing.
Excellent. So you guys are both returning guests, so you've answered the classic five questions.
Yes.
So I've come up with some sort of slightly more odd new questions to
Fantastic.
Get deeper into your Star Wars love.
Sweet.
So let's get deep into your love.
Whoa.
First question. I know what I said. I said it on purpose.
I feel dirty already.
Oh, my God.
The first question for you. We'll start with you, Jenna. What piece of Star Wars technology would you want to have in real life?
You would think that I would say lightsaber, but I feel like the practical usage for lightsabers in this world, probably not high. Mm-hmm. I would like a TIE fighter. I understand.
Okay.
I understand that other people would like an X-wing fighter. It's not that I'm on the dark side of the Force. It's just that they look like It's they're like smart cars crossed with bow ties.
Yeah,
there's something appealing about that.
They're easier to park, right? Like an X-wing is cool, but it's like driving like a Buick from 1978. Yeah. Like you're gonna have a hard time finding parking.
If you live in Los Angeles, you understand this. So, yeah. I don't know, I've just always been fascinated by TIE Fighters, even when I was a little kid. I love them, I wanted the toy, no one bought it for me.
Jerks.
I'm fine. But yes, that's what I want.
Okay, you would want a TIE Fighter. Yeah. And just, how about you, Joe Ruggiero? I know, I slipped up a little bit. Joe Ruggiero.
You almost stuck the landing on that one. oddly enough, I was going to say like X-Wing, but you may have just convinced me to TIE Fighter, because yeah, I forget where I live, plus they make that awesome noise. And like you know what I would really like to have? I would like to have my own Death Star.
Oh.
Just to be in orbit above me at all times. So just any, you know, if there's an altercation with a fellow driver or someone else, I can just be like, see that?
So you
it's mine.
You would want a Death Star that no, you're not gonna blow up the entire planet if somebody cuts you off on the 101.
No, just the threat. I might. So that they learn their place. Okay.
But would you want your Death Star to have like a laser, precise giant laser, so it could just hit people who upset you in traffic?
Oh yeah, I'm not trying to take the whole planet with me. I'm getting some really good laser shooter people.
Okay. Laser shooter people.
Laser shooter people. Those are their official titles if you watch the credits. Don't actually research that. I'm not trying to destroy the entire planet.
Well, good.
Yet.
Good. Well, I think I'm learning a lot about you guys already. You want a sleek, elegant, easy to park vehicle, mm-hmm. and you want the physically largest, most violent object in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
we're nice people.
Come Yay. At me, bro.
Oh well, that's
come
good.
At me.
A good come at me, bro, is a good segue to the next question because it's about the dark side.
I'd spray paint that on the outside of my Death Star. Just yes. come at me, bro.
That's really Darth Maul's subtext all the time. Is come at me, bro.
It is.
I'm gonna watch the movies again with a whole new
come at me, bro.
So, Jenna. If you turn to the dark side, what would your Darth name be?
See, I could try to come up with something super clever, but I've done a lot of podcasts and I've talked about Star Wars a lot, which is pretty much my everyday. And after a podcast, apparently I'm not very threatening and someone called me Darth Giggles. Yep. 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 So as much as I tried, the first thing that popped into my head was when someone said that to me. And
I like that.
And it made me giggle. Yeah. So
you're going to run with Darth Giggles.
Darth Giggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really challenges people to be frightened of you because, you know, you say Darth Giggles, people aren't going to take you seriously. And then you're going to take out your however many bladed lightsaber. And
I'm just not that. Yeah. See, that's it's a smokescreen.
Yeah.
Because I'm really terrifying. Can you tell?
Absolutely. Joe Ruggiero. If we're on the dark side, what would your Darth name be?
I also try to think of something really intimidating, but I kind of try to think of what my Darth persona would be, and all I could come up with was Darth Fancy Pants, just because I feel like I'd be really well dressed as a. I don't know if you know the Batman villain, the Flamingo.
No, I don't.
Well, he's kind of like a I forget that, like a flamenco dancer. And he's got like this awesome purple suit and bright pink hair. Honestly, I just like the pink hair. Any hair of any color, I don't care. But he's also this like total badass, like assassin will kill you. And I think Darth Fancy Pants could be in that same vein.
Okay.
I feel like we could start a superhero team.
Yeah.
Right? Darth Giggles and Darth Fancy Pants.
Oh my God.
Which would be the master and which would be the apprentice between Fancy Pants and Giggles?
I think Giggles is the boss.
Yeah, yeah,
You don't mess with someone named Darth Giggles.
No, he's like, you don't.
You got a boss, whatever you need. Sure.
Nice. I can have an ominous giggle.
You could.
Absolutely. Do you want to? Oh, yeah. Do that again. Yeah, do that again. Excellent. There's some ringtones for people.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I was really hoping that you would get something that was easy to pronounce, like Fancy Pants.
Yeah,
after a year, a whole life of Ruggiero.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I went with Joe. Like, I don't even want to do Joseph anymore because that's too many syllables.
We're
going with Joe. Nice and simple, just straight, streamlined.
Joseph can be very challenging for people.
Yep.
All right, so Jenna, yes. What Star Wars animal makes the best noises?
Salacious Crumb.
So you're calling him an animal?
Yes. Well, see, that was so weird. So we were thinking about these questions, and I was like, well, who's really an animal? I mean, is
yeah, I think there's the general, I think, taxonomy is that people say creature versus alien. So like an alien species, like more humanoid, we're usually called aliens, and then creatures like Rancor. I decided to make it a little bit more ambiguous with animal and see where you guys went. So, Salacious Crumb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Darth Giggles.
I get
it. Yeah, see, there it is.
Yeah, that's very good. It's very frightening.
I've got a theme.
You do.
And it's so upsetting.
It's getting a little scarier.
Isn't it?
It's just, yeah.
And, you want to be on the other side of the table, don't you? Well,
no.
He's going to stick with his master.
Yep.
Darth Fancy Pants, what animal do you think makes the best noise? And really, why?
Wookies. Wookies.
Wookies.
Man.
Okay.
I mean,
are they animals, though?
Yeah.
But
they're really, 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 really smart ones.
Ah.
But yeah, no, they're animals.
Are you going to do the noise?
No, I do a
this
terrible,
is getting more controversial than I meant. I thought it would be a fun, like, oh, tauntauns, the rancor. And now it's, are Wookiees animals? And I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I don't think I want to go down that path.
I think they're very smart animals that you want to have following behind you.
Right. So many letters are going to happen.
What? Can
come
you,
at me, bro.
Can you do an impression of
no,
a Wookiee saying, screw you? What is screw you sound like in Wookiee?
That was good. I could try it, but I always end up sounding like a Murloc from World of Warcraft.
Well, let's try it.
All right.
But see, I can't do it. It just doesn't work in my voice.
It sounds like a sort of dental surgery Wookiee.
Right.
It sounded like a Wookiee in a car passing you really fast. Like,
wait, no, but if I do the Murloc voice, like that makes sense. But
oh, now I get it.
Oh, I've crossed the nerd line, haven't I?
Yeah, I think there's some nerd synergy going on there. A nerd singularity.
Oh, God.
Danger.
This may be a podcast about Star Wars, but come on, man. There's a line.
I know. So embarrassed.
All right, Darth Giggles. Which Star Wars character do you think smells the best? The best personal odor of a Star Wars character?
Oh. Hmm. I would like to say Leia, but that seems too obvious. So I feel like it would be C-3PO. I mean, he's a protocol droid. I'm sure that there's some sort of lovely scent that he has in there somewhere.
So, like, his droid oil that he gets dipped in?
Well, no, that's probably, he probably doesn't smell good after that.
Scented droid oil?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, in the garage on Tatooine? Maybe.
It's
lilac?
Right? No,
rosemary?
He's so proper, I feel like that would be one of his protocols, to smell nice.
Yeah, if his main point is to, like, facilitate, which we don't get him to see him do very much, just facilitate good social interactions. You would want him to walk in and say, I understand he's going to translate for us, but my, what a lovely smelling protocol droid.
You smell great.
Your droid smells spectacular, sir.
He won't shut up, but he smells great.
Yeah. People often say that about me.
Okay, Darth Fancy Pants.
That's right. I think Grand Moff Tarkin is a good smelling man.
Oh.
He just, you know, he seems
cologne.
Yeah, he seems very proper, always. Well, well bathed in the morning. Mm. He's got his cologne, his aftershave.
Oh, yeah.
That man, that's a good smelling man.
Yeah. Now, how much was there a runner up for you, or did you just go right to this answer?
I started thinking of all the rebels, but I mean, if you're looking at them, at least in the context of the movies, I don't think they smell good once in the movies.
No, they've got a rough life.
Yeah, they're hiding out. They're always doing battle. So I didn't think any of them smelled good. So then I immediately went to the dark side,
as one does,
as you do. And I just came up with Tarkin. I think he smells real, real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And he's got the bunny slippers, as we know from behind the scenes.
Yeah, he's got his big robe. You know, at the end of the day, he retires to his quarters with a good book. His pipe and his robe and his slippers.
He totally smokes a pipe.
He absolutely smokes a pipe.
And now I can only picture him reading his own book.
Yes.
Reading Tarkin.
Yeah.
This is a good autobiography. Not autobiography. Maybe he wrote it himself. Who knows?
You never know.
All right, so question number 5. Would you use a Jedi mind trick to get out of a speeding ticket?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Darth Giggles would totally do that.
Of course.
Darth Fancy Pants doesn't even wait to be called on.
Please.
See, yeah, I wrote this question, and then I thought, oh, man, I think everybody's just going to immediately say, hell yeah. And then I became intrigued, if I get a chance to ask other returning guests, that this is going to be like a real litmus test. The first person who wavers at all, I'll know. That's like morally the best person I know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't waver.
Well,
questions
it
for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. But any time that you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, you really feel like everybody else was doing 10 miles over.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not that bad.
What am I going to do? Pay it? Come on.
I have never... God, I shouldn't even say this. Knock wood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I haven't yet. Not saying I wouldn't use a mind trick, though.
Well, I think that you should try that or the giggle, and maybe the officer will just back away in fear.
That's a good
Anyone
plan.
Would.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the last, number 6 of the 5 questions that I've added. Will you cry during The Force Awakens, Jenna?
Oh, my God, yes. I cried during the trailer. I went down to Celebration, but I was not there for the announcement because I had to watch online and write it up. which is a good thing because I ugly cried. Like, it's not, there was, like, that whole thing. It was really, really, really I'm trying to think of the best word to say. It was really ugly.
Yeah.
And, yes, I will
ugly
cry.
Ugly cry.
It was ugly cry. Yeah, but I absolutely will. And I don't really cry at movies, but it's Star Wars. Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Joe Ruggiero, do you think you will cry during The Force Awakens, or will you try to be stern?
Absolutely not. Emotions are for weaklings and cowards, and I just don't. I assuming JJ keeps things true to form, I'm sure when that initial, you know, Star Wars and the fanfare and the crawl happens, I might get a little kind of like I did during the trailers. But as far as like full on bawling, I doubt it. That's kind of up to the whole movie. It might be hilarious, so maybe I'll just be crying from laughing.
There's a lot of different ways to interpret the question. You could be laughing out of grief or joy. Many different ways to interpret it. I just kind of find it fascinating, the strength of the emotional reaction to the trailer. I agree with it. I think it's appropriate that we all reacted so
undignified.
Emotionally.
That's the word I was looking for before.
Ugly cry or that. Yeah. I think it was very powerful. We've talked about it on the podcast before. But it's fascinating to me that, you know, Star Wars is this kind of action-adventure movie. It's fun. And that normally when you're going to a movie, like, hey, you want to just have a good time. But then it started to strike me of, like, this is this phenomenon where, like, generations of people are going to gather in a movie theater at midnight cry at the Space Wars.
It's going to make a gajillion dollars.
It is.
One day. And I mean, everyone's going to see it. Oh, me too.
It's a weird thing. Like, the first really kick-ass chick I saw on screen was Leia. So, you know what made me cry even more than the trailer? The behind-the-scenes thing that they put up from Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was good.
As soon as they showed Carrie Fisher, I was like...
Yeah, and she looked great. She looked regal and dignified and, like, she's in charge of, you know, the new... organization and
the first trailer when it came out, like, I didn't immediately see it, and so I was kind of following a lot of the reactions online, and I was like, oh, that's okay, it's okay, settle down people, come on. And then I started watching, like, oh, this is pretty cool, and then there's the shot of the Falcon going up and the fanfare hits, and I'm like, oh my god, this is
okay.
So good.
So for the second trailer, did Han get you? Chewie were home, did it make you weep?
Oh, like a little baby.
Like a little,
oh, God.
An ugly baby, or
like an ugly, ugly baby.
I wept like an ugly baby.
Yeah,
excellent. And speaking of bajillions of dollars of money, we're going to move into news from the Holonet. A lot of new stuff is about new products coming out. There's the announcement of the new Blu-rays, the new Steelbook Blu-rays. I think we have a picture that we can throw up here for our audience of the Blu-rays.
And
I was fascinated by the collection of figures on the front of the discs.
Some interesting choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think the reasoning behind... Well, tell me what you think of it, and then tell me what you think of the reasoning behind it.
I think they're interesting pictures, but some of the choices of characters are a little questionable.
Yeah.
I think the reason behind this would be dollars.
Yeah, well, for making them, certainly. Yes.
Way to go out on a limb there,
Well, hard-hitting news reporter.
Yeah. Are you going to buy them?
No. I own so many different versions of this that I want to save my money for things that I don't have yet, like the giant TIE fighter.
Okay.
That's coming out. No, I'm not. I'm actually not kidding. That is going to live in my house. I feel like... There's so much stuff, and I'm not that rich, so...
Right.
But, I have them. There's no reason.
You have them on Blu-ray.
I have every permutation of them.
So this is where you're drawing your line?
This is where I'm drawing my line, but only to save money for the giant TIE fighter.
Excellent. And how about you, Joe?
No, I'm not getting these either, mostly because, as I told you, you know, last time we saw each other, I'm a huge snob about the original versions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have those on DVD, and that's good. I don't need... anything. I have the original trilogy, the original theatrical cut. I don't really feel the need to have anything else. I'm sure these are lovely.
Yeah,
they'll look very good. But I'm like Jenna. I don't need to collect everything, and I will save it for something even dorkier.
Yeah.
I was saying before we started, like, four of those I can get. Grievous and the Stormtrooper, I feel like they could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Stormtrooper is really iconic. The weird thing to me is just that it's all bad guys and then Yoda.
Yeah,
it seems like a weird diss on Yoda.
Yeah,
it
like
if
anything, they should have gone with the full villain theme and made two Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Or Dooku. Or not him.
Yeah,
or,
yeah Jango would have been great for Attack of the Clones. Yeah.
They're just, you know, one of the Fetts. I get my Fetts confused.
But no, I kind of like it when Star Wars is a little bit wobbly. I kind of like it when it's really good, but there's a little something wonky going on because I feel like the majority of Star Wars, I love it to death, but I feel like that's part, for me, part of its charm is that 90% of this is great and there's always something that's 10%. What?
Yeah.
And I feel Yoda's my 10%. So I might actually buy these because I kind of like this incredibly cruel attack on Yoda just in packaging form.
Just so you can spread them out on the floor and go, Yoda.
Yoda.
That's silly.
I seriously would walk by them and just be like, Yoda. Why?
Yoda.
Why did they do that?
So weird.
Cool. So next news item. Toys R Us put out a press release about Force Friday. So Force Friday is going to be the big reveal and first release of all of the new Force Awakens Star Wars toys. And they're going to be at big events everywhere at midnight. So are you guys excited about the new toys? Are you going to line up at a store if that's available here in Los Angeles?
It's possible that I will do that. I love toys. I love them. I want to have all of them. I don't care about spoilers, but I think partially that's because it's sort of an occupational hazard with what I do. Like, there's no way I can avoid them. So that's like, people are like, oh, I won't watch the trailers. I'm like, yeah, I can't really help but watch the trailers.
Right.
So I will do that. I actually have Hasbro sent to a bunch of reporters this calendar that is a countdown to Force Friday. And so every day, you know, at first I was like, no, I won't line up at midnight. But every day I'm seeing a new toy that I remember from when I was a kid, most of which I never got. And I'm still angry. And so I'm like, oh, but that thing, oh, and that thing. Oh, God, I got to get all of them now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you have a desire to collect them all to repair your damaged childhood? Because I think that is a big part of it.
It's possible. No, I mean, I couldn't afford to buy all the toys that they have. I actually would like to see how many, I'm excited to see the female toys.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I think that's really cool. And maybe a new TIE Fighter.
And maybe a new giant TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
How about you, Joe? Would you line up? Are you going to buy a lot?
No, I'm such a huge toy dork, but I don't have the budget for it. So and it's not just Star Wars stuff, like comic book. Like, I would have 38 different Batman figures at home if I could.
Right.
You should.
I should. And someday I'm sure I will, but I'm just kind of holding off until it really, like, I can actually justify it.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I can't afford to get all the toys.
But just sort of, like, personality-wise, could you walk into Toys R Us and buy, like, the two that are, like, the iconic ones, like, it'll make you feel good looking at those two figures, or will you need to collect them all?
Absolutely. No, I mean, I would probably have a hard time, like, I'd probably do it online, so I wouldn't see all the other ones there in front of me and be like, no, I should get these nine other ones also. so I probably won't do any.
You're maybe the first person I've ever talked to who says that they can have more purchasing restraint on the internet.
Oh.
When I'm sober.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, we had a whole discussion before the show about drunk Amazon purchases.
Yeah, no, if I'm hammered, I'm buying them all of them.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all going to live. Well, I also live in a house with another very, very nerdy person, and my girlfriend used to designed Star Wars toys for Gentle Giant. So on our first date, I got one of the ones that he designed. And so when I moved in with him, it already looked like a nerd threw up in there. And now...
In a good way.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. But what's going to happen when the toys come out? Like, I'll justify some of them, he'll justify some of them. And it's... We already have five lightsabers in our house.
Yeah.
There are only two of us. The cats don't have thumbs. it's going to be bad.
But you can Photoshop them into the cats.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and have.
Now, Joe, are you worried about spoilers in the action figures?
A little bit. I mean, I'm worried about spoilers, period, in general. And basically between now and when the movie comes out, I'm going to try to be as much
I will tell
you
nothing.
Thank you. just because I don't want to know all that much. I'm fine with a couple more trailers, but like, I really don't want to know. So yeah, if the spoilers are all of a sudden people are going, well, hey, so this must mean that I'm don't.
Yeah, the bargain that I have made with myself is that I cannot resist the toys, so I will want to go buy some right away, because that's such a huge part of what my fandom was growing up, when I spent all of my student loan money on Star Wars action figures.
a wise choice.
Yes. A wise choice. An investment in myself. And But I'm not going to read the back, because when Phantom Menace came out, I hungrily read the back. And there were no spoilers. It was just, hey, we're going to meet this character on this planet. And it I started to connect the dots. And one of the Phantom Menace experiences I had is like, oh, I did figure out the large beats of the story.
Yeah.
And I just want to be more surprised. I don't think that they're going to do spoilers. And I think they're going to be very, in the traditional sense, I think they're going to be very careful. But I think there might be a little bit of like, oh, I didn't realize this character would be on this planet, or this character mm-hmm. would be in a situation with this character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And although I have to say, like, I actually just wrote a story about this, about how I think they've really done a good job with the marketing for the film so far, because I'm willing to sit and pour through. There was just a new TV spot released on the Korean YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That had another 2 seconds of footage. And I was like, I will watch it again and again just to see that shot, and I'll freeze it. And that's great. And I feel comfortable doing that, because they haven't, as much as we've seen, we don't know anything. And I think that's really good, because I think part of this is the anticipation leading up to December, and how cool it is, and how much fun it is to say, oh my God, I wonder if this happens, and I wonder if this happens.
Yeah.
And I think they've handled it very well. So hopefully there won't be spoilers this time.
Yeah.
Because I think they maybe learned their lesson.
Yeah. I've said before, like, I already know as much as I want to about
it. Like, and you will know more. There's like, just no way.
I'd rather it just come out tomorrow so I could see it and just not have anything else. I'm sure I'll pick up a few more hints here and there, but I'm avoiding as much as I can.
Cool. So there's also the very quick J.J. Abrams MTV interview, which I think if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's very funny. It was somebody who knew that he wasn't going to give any information, so asked him some yes and no sort of trolling questions, really. And I love seeing the headlines, because it sounded like he had said, like, really big things. And it was clearly just these weird things had been trolled out of him, like saying the holiday special is canon. I think we have a lovely picture of a part of Carrie Fisher singing in the holiday special.
Absolutely.
Do you guys think the holiday special should be canon?
Oh, God.
Are you going to live up to your Darth names?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, God.
It's glorious.
It
a
is.
Pained yes from Darth Giggles.
Look at her joy of song.
Oh.
I mean, she's just so happy. She's full of...
Yes, but she was on a lot of stuff when she was doing
so
that.
So much stuff. You would have to be.
You would. No, I mean, she's perfectly justified in that, because I watched it.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying, I want it to continue to exist.
I would be kind of thrilled if there was some incredibly small detail in Force Awakens that hints towards, just
Absolutely.
Like a background character that we only saw in the cantina in the holiday special, or that kind of thing. Or somebody has Boba Fett's weird little vibra pokey thing that he has in the cartoon. Some little nod to...
Yeah.
Because J.J., like, what he did so well with the first Star Trek is stuff like that. Like, I saw the red shirt joke. I was the only one in the theater who got that first time, which was really embarrassing. Like,
wow.
The guy walks in and I'm like, ha ha! No, what?
None of you?
Nobody? No, he's a red shirt. He's going to die in like 3 seconds. Nobody else. But... you know, if anyone could work something in like that, it would be him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just to kind of wrap up the news here quickly, there's the 2 seconds from the Korean TV commercial that got released today. It's literally 2 seconds.
Yes.
So cool to see headlines all over the internet. And they go, oh, there's literally 2 seconds. It's a very cool 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give anything away, but just does show you a little bit more of the sort of the magnitude and the power of the new bad guys.
So cool. It looks so cool.
And then there was also the leaked footage shots on set of Rogue One, which, again, there's nothing really there.
Right.
It's just some stormtroopers hanging out. But I admit, just a couple of shots of stormtroopers hanging out somewhere got me really excited for Rogue One, and really excited to see classic stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, live, moving around, shooting at things.
Missing.
Hopefully hitting some
badly.
Things.
Oh, they'll shooting
be
missing. Shooting at things badly.
They'll miss all of it.
No, I think this joke is too old. I think Disney is going to want to put that joke to bed. And I think the opening shot is going to be stormtroopers just hitting everything.
Just mowing down everyone.
Bullseyeing everything.
And they're just dropping the gun like, what?
Yeah, like a mic drop.
Oh, God. Well, you know, so I moderated at San Diego Comic-Con the Science of Star Wars panel. And one of my questions was, why can't they hit anything? And I mean, there were all of these theories from the audience and from the panel saying that the clones were starting to degenerate and all of that. They just suck. They're just bad shots.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
You know, those helmets, like, they got the beady little eye holes.
It's hard
to even see anything out.
Exactly.
You're just like, which way are they? Okay, I'll shoot them that way.
They were letting them escape. That was one of them. That was
I personally like that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough excuses for stormtroopers. That's news from the Holonet. So we are going to get into our main topic for the day, romance. in Star Wars. All right, are you guys ready?
Exciting.
So first we're going to talk about the central romance in the original trilogy, Han and Leia.
Yeah.
Aww. What do you guys think works about Han and Leia?
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of it.
It's just
what
well
makes
done.
It magical? Why are people so enamored of that romance?
I think there was an inevitability to it. You know, I mean, a lot of movies and a lot of books and a lot of stories throughout history use the "we don't like each other, we don't like each other." Oh, wow, we really love each other.
Yeah.
But there was something about the way that they handled it. I don't know. It just didn't feel forced. It felt like it made sense to me. Oh, my first spoiler ever was on the playground when someone told me that Luke and Leia were siblings.
Oh, really?
Before I saw the movie,
and you just said your line and threw like some sand at them, right?
Yeah. Actually, I think I kicked them.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah.
Well done, Darth Giggles.
Thank you.
What for you works about Han and Leia's romance?
Yeah, just the will they, won't they thing that they have going. And the fact that pretty much there's instantly something going on between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they immediately start yelling at it. Like, whatever emotion they're going to have for each other is really strong, and it's very apparent from the second they first meet.
Yeah.
And just watching it progress from... okay, they probably love each other. Well, no, she might hate him. Well, though, but it's just wonderful.
It's lovely.
Yeah. So there obviously there's the tension in Star Wars. Then there's the growing tension. The real romance story is in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And then Return of the Jedi. There's some very very quick beats.
Yeah.
My favorite beat in their whole relationship, I've said this before, is when Leia has just found out all this information about her life, and she's having a hard time processing it, that Luke is her brother, mm-hmm. Vader's her father, and Han tries to talk to her, and makes that man noise of giving up, of saying, and starts to walk away.
Man noise.
Well, I would say, like, the stereotypical sort of, like, I don't want to deal with emotions. And I love that noise. It's so specific. But then from that moment on, there's a big switch in Han, and he becomes much softer and much gentler. And over the years, I've heard people kind of complain about that. How do you guys feel about, like, where Han is by the end of Return of the Jedi, where he's, like, literally saying, oh, you love Luke, I won't make any trouble, I'll get out of the way?
Well, I don't know. I think that's kind of a classy thing to do. I don't know if it even makes sense for him to just go, we'll find him, we're going to fight him, and, like... He's like, all right, you don't, then you don't. I don't know. I think that just seems like it's perfectly part of his character. That never bothered me. I mean, I don't know. The thing about Return of the Jedi is it depends, I think, what age you were when you saw it.
Yeah.
And what you'll put up with and what you won't, and whether you thought the Ewoks were teddy bears or you wondered about the woman that they ate to give Leia that dress. So I guess with the age I was,
she died horribly.
Yeah, I think the dress is made of somebody else's skin.
Yeah,
that's just a little pet theory.
It was horrific.
Yeah. That's kind of gross. But yeah, so when
it is kind of gross.
I guess I was the right age to see it, to not think that that was weird.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. How do you feel, Joe?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. So much of Star Wars is about Luke growing up, but a lot of it is Han growing up. You know, he's all about him at the beginning, and hey, look what I can do. And then by the end of it, he's part of the team, and let's go beat up the bad guys. And I think that's a logical thing. Like, he'll really show the maturity where he's like, well, I could, you know, instead of throwing some sort of tantrum and making a man noise and going, actually, the fact that he's actually like, fine, let's say words to each other, I think really shows you know, a lot of actual character progression.
Yeah, I kind of like it that he's trying,
or
his brain got messed up.
Yeah.
So you're offering the fans some alternative theories there.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I like it in that he's trying hard, that he doesn't have any great experience on being sort of like a good in a good healthy relationship, and he's trying really hard.
I think clearly what it breaks down to is that she's broken him emotionally, and he's like, fine.
You know, he was married before.
He's
resigned. Yes, that's new information, but we don't know the quality of the marriage.
We don't know if they have
a division of chores on the refrigerator or anything healthy living together, if it's just running around, you know. Smuggling and
dear Han,
love making.
Milk. Oh God! One more time.
Out of blue milk.
One more time, woman.
Sort of green card.
Do you guys think that there will be trouble between Han and Leia's in The Force Awakens? Do you think that there will be, and that's a fairly big fan theory that's boiling, that there will be some conflict?
I don't think
maybe they're not together at the start of the film.
I don't think there'll be
your faces are pained in exactly the same day. Wait, so you don't want that?
I don't think they'll be like legit. I think it'll be the fun, playful yelling at each other.
Yeah.
You're stupid. No, you're stupid. But we still love each other type thing that they have going on. I swear to God, that movie starts and they're divorced.
No,
will you cry?
I might cry. I'll find JJ and punch him in the beanbag. But what are you doing, dude? Stop it. First Star Trek Into Darkness, now this? What are you doing?
Punch him in the beanbag.
Punch
him in the beanbag.
Very violent and kid-friendly at the same time.
That's how Darth Fancy Pants
handles his business.
Okay. So keeping in the romance of the original trilogy. So Luke and Leia definitely have a little bit of a romance. As much if you can try to wipe it from your mind.
It happened.
But Luke is very clearly into her in A New Hope, very moved by her.
Well, how would you not be?
So do you think, and Leia's still clearly a little bit unsure about her feelings. Obviously, he means a lot to her at the beginning of Empire. Maybe she's not sure what kind of love it is, and that's kind of how it's spun.
Maybe that's best.
And Return of the Jedi. But do you think that Luke and Leia's relationship would have got a little bit farther along if Luke was better at flirting?
Possibly. Just like the... Okay, so when she kisses him and then he leans back and puts his arms behind his head.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little kid. Like, girls like me. I'm awesome. Like that... Yeah. No,
I think I did the exact same thing when I was 10.
Yeah.
Girls like me. What? Who am I kidding? I do it now.
She's into scruffy-looking nerf herders.
Yeah.
That's it. No, I
haven't shaved in a while.
I think he's just... he's just... too young, and I don't mean age-wise. I mean just
one of the moments in A New Hope that I've come to appreciate more and more as I get older that I didn't quite understand is a very young kid. I love that moment in the Falcon when they're making the getaway when Han's like, I don't know, do you think a guy like me? And Luke's like, no. In the, both in Star Wars and Empire, it is really like a guy who just doesn't really know how to flirt yet is kind of taken with her. Yeah. So that's what made me think, like, if he was more on point,
Well, it's kind of like, his force senses are developing. It's almost like a weird Jedi puberty where he's all these new all these new feelings, and he's got this strange hot chick walking around.
So now we have to change the name of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Jedi puberty.
No.
On popcorn. Yep. I think Luke, through the whole thing, and for various reasons, just kind of conflicted all these things going on, whereas Han's just like, what's up, girl?
Yeah, I mean, Han's been around the block. He knows what's going on.
You want to pet my Wookiee?
Yeah, cool. You do.
I'm going to use that too.
Yes.
No more Star Wars pickup lines.
Oh, God.
Just getting started.
Okay, so we're going to move into Anakin and Padme.
Great.
Cool. I think it's very, very different because Han and Leia's romance is sort of the B plot of the original trilogy, whereas in a lot of ways, the romance is the A plot of the prequel trilogy.
You really couldn't have picked a better picture than that.
I picked this one
because... it's a very disturbing picture.
For those listening, we have a picture of Anakin and Padme in the arena on Geonosis. Padme is giving Anakin a peck on the cheek, and Anakin looks very, very into it.
He's really enjoying that peck on the cheek.
Yep.
Their relationship is, I think, very intense. I think it's meant to be much more intense than Han and Leia's relationship was, where it was a sort of flirtation building to... we fall in love in this time of crisis, and their relationship is very intense throughout. And I also like this because it's in a public space. So if the Jedi had been paying attention, they would have realized that maybe something's going on.
There's a lot of not paying attention by the Jedi.
They really miss a lot of clear
signals.
They
are not really good chaperones, are they?
No, okay, so I rewatched these for the book. So... I don't know, if you're a Jedi and you have these mind powers, maybe you don't take the adolescent kid who has lost his mom and say, hey, you know that hot chick that you're really, really into? Why don't you go to this planet and it'll just be the two of you, and you can wear all kinds of awesome outfits and you can impress her with your force powers. Don't have sex, though.
No hanky panky. Just be alone with this incredibly beautiful woman.
Yeah.
My parents had better sense than that. Right.
Yeah. And I don't remember if Obi-Wan actually is or if I've inserted that in my head where he's like, really? Really, guys? That's all right. You're in charge.
Yeah, sure.
I like that because you can interpret it two ways. You can interpret it either as the Jedi being just totally oblivious, right?
Yeah.
in just thinking their way is the right way, so nothing's ever going to happen. Or you can think of it as them maybe seeing something and it's a test.
Yeah, that's a mean test.
Everybody failed this. Yes. I mean, they didn't even tell him that he had to keep his door open when she was there. I mean, come on.
They're
missing the whole point.
Yeah, but it's a classic storytelling thing that two people fall in love because they're forced into a situation where it's just them. Like, there's a snowstorm outside and they get locked in a cabin, or it's raining outside and they just have to take shelter in this little stable. And I mean, it's a classic thing. They use it all the time. So apparently the Jedi don't read.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So outside of the general Jar Jar hate in the prequels, I think this romance, in the way it's portrayed, the way it's scripted and acted, is probably one of the most controversial things in Star Wars fandom. There are a lot of people who grew up with the prequels, are very attached to this romance, think it's done really well. There are a lot of people who are really, really full of bile. I think that there are parts of it that work. I think there are parts of it that work on the page but are a little rough in the acting. I want to challenge you guys to each say something positive about the Anakin and Padme romance.
They have a very pretty wedding picture.
They do have a really pretty wedding picture. But seriously, though, even if you just isolate that moment, if you don't like the rest of it and you isolate those kinds of moments, do they have power for you? Even in that little moment where... if you say, I really didn't like the way this developed, but this shot is powerful.
Well,
the way they touch hands is powerful. The secrecy of it.
It's a rough one for me. And again, I think that this is another place where it matters how old you were when you saw it, where you were in your life when you saw it. And I think the two of them maybe had some issues with chemistry. So it's hard if you think about it from what you see, if you think about what was written. She's obviously the driving force behind everything that happens to him. I mean, he turns to the dark side. I mean, one could argue there are other reasons, but one of the reasons is to protect her.
Yeah, I think it is central that he has this true, deep love and attachment that is forbidden.
Yeah.
That Palpatine plays on.
Forbidden attachment. I don't know. That always, yeah.
That's another new title for the show.
Forbidden Attachment. I think we'll try out Jedi Puberty before we move to Forbidden Attachment.
We could make
it just sounds like sexy email time. Forbidden Attachment. So Joe Ruggiero, say one positive thing.
I will say the part at the end before the big fight with Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
If the dialogue had been slightly better, it's a very powerful seen an image of her, desperate to, oh my God, please stop this, like realizing that this is it before he's just gone.
Yeah.
Like he's probably already, because he just killed a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But just please let me try one last time. Again, if there were certain improvements made, it could have been really, really moving, because it's where he truly, I know the fight is physically where it happens, but that's really where Vader
gets the point of
even Padme can't bring him back from the edge. You're like, nope.
Yeah, and we actually see the theory of the dark side of attachment, not only that he's not willing to let things go, but like he is at that point really kind of wanting to possess her in this very creepy way where she's the one he's doing this for, doing all of this for her, but he's so blinded by rage that maybe Obi-Wan is, turning her against him, and she's, that I think that's all really powerful. And I've really come to like the line. I didn't like it when I first saw it, the line about going down a path that I can't follow.
Yeah,
right.
Because at first I was like, oh, well, that's a little bit maybe even too melodramatic, even for something that's supposed to be melodramatic. But it's one of those lines that just kind of pops into my head in life when, like, I feel myself diverging from friends.
Yeah.
Or, like, you're about to do something that I just can't follow. And when I first started having it in my head, I was like, where's that from? Like, it's that line. Yeah. It's powerful. That's a powerful feeling of... you're everything to me, but I can't do that with you.
It's the Meatloaf song.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You've taken words from me, Joe Ruggiero. I can only make disgusting
hearing.
Star Wars alien noises. The other thing...
I honestly do, get your point in a non-jokey fashion.
Yeah.
Like, no, it is. It's like, as much as I care for you and I, came all this way and I... about to pop with our kids.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, stop it. Because otherwise, I just can't.
And still, no.
Nope.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Another thing that I like that helps me appreciate, is, like, especially Attack of the Clones more, is that why would Anakin be suave? Like, when I first saw them, I wanted him to have that kind of roguish romance that, you know, these two aren't supposed to hook up just the way Han Solo and Leia weren't. Yeah. But then I was thinking, like, well, where would he have learned those skills?
Yeah.
Certainly not from Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he's
hanging out with not from a Jedi.
Yeah, no, he's hanging out with Obi-Wan and Yoda. He's not getting any girls.
Yeah,
no.
So, like, I think one of the beats that I think is really clear with that is when they're talking on the grass on Naboo, and they're talking about politics, and he offers this sort of scary idea of basically sort of outlining what the Empire is. Like, maybe politics would be better if there was just a few people in charge and we enforced everything.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what? And he's like, oh, never mind. No, I didn't. I've had that moment on dates where, like, I have offered an opinion and then realized
I shouldn't have said those
words.
Oh,
that's not a thing. And I think a lot of people interpret that differently, whether he was actually joking or whether he was saying what he meant and then realized she's really not into that, so I'm going to... Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they were addled by love. I mean, they rolled through a field that probably contained droppings from the creatures that they rode. I'm just saying.
Yes.
That's not a place you want to roll in the grass.
They're shacks, I believe, is what they're called.
I could
have that wrong because most people call them butt cows.
I may have called
shacks.
Yes, I'll look that up. I might have that wrong. Okay, cool. So, outside of those big two relationships, do you have other romances, like especially in extended fiction that you guys like?
Well, honestly, C-3PO and R2-D2. I know it's a bromance, but it's just they can't be without each other.
It's timeless.
Sweet.
It is. It's adorable.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also very love-hate.
It's true. Yeah. Oh my God, they're the robot Han and Leia.
They are. Yeah.
Never thought about that.
How about any other actual romances? You know, you got...
Mara Jade.
Yeah.
Luke and Mara Jade.
Yeah.
Did you read a lot of the novels where that happened?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. I understand canon change, all of that, that we had to do a new story and all. But that was one of the things I was very sad to hear we weren't going to see.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think a character like Mara Jade, who has only existed in the expanded universe and yet is still as popular as the characters from the original trilogy, like... kind of think they might have at least wanted to hang on to that one.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what they'll do? We don't know.
Yeah. I think if it turns out they do and she does make an appearance in the movies, people lose their minds.
Would you be happy if Luke either has a current flame in The Force Awakens or we get the sense that he has had relationships? Or do you want him to just have followed this kind of Jedi path from the prequels of being very alone and very... solitaire.
Yeah, I kind of like the haunted lone warrior. You know, it's got that kind of classic Eastwood Western film feel to it, where he's just out on his own walking the trail.
Yeah,
And I think for Luke that and sort of where his type of character and what that sort of Jedi would be like, I think that would have worked. But that's where, because you'll get the love and other stuff from Han and Leia. At least we'd better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly speculating on plot. Like, I think it would make the most sense for him to have been a lone Jedi, because you know he was the last one. He's got to follow the path and take the mantle for everyone else. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if they do it well, I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
If it's done well, I'm on board.
Yes.
Do you want a young romance in The Force Awakens? Do you want any of our new characters to have that sort of Han and Leia energy?
I don't need one. But again, if it's done well, I'm totally fine with it. But I don't feel like... I'm not a chick flick kind of girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I love love stories. That's great. But I don't feel like I need it. If they put it in there, that's great.
Yeah.
That's totally great.
I hope that there's a hint of it and that it like follows the original trilogy and it develops into something more for the second film. Because I do feel like it is an important part of Star Wars. You know, Lucas's original inspiration is all of these pulps and adventure serials that always had a romance as a B story. Like Star Wars with no sense of romance.
There'll be some.
Yeah, there'll be some.
Cool. Any other favorite romances? Are you guys Clone Wars watchers? Did you enjoy Obi-Wan and Duchess Satine?
I did, actually. I did. I don't know if I ship it as much.
No.
That's a thing that I just said, that I ship something.
You ship things.
Oh, dear.
Shipper.
I ship them.
But I mean, I liked that. I thought it was well done. I thought it was dragged out the exact amount it should have been. So, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-romance. I like romance.
Yeah.
I had heart love.
Yeah. And, well, and
I think there could even be a blooming one on Star Trek. Sorry.
Oh, God.
You bastard.
Bye. On Rebels between Kanan and Hera?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's definitely a hint of that. Yeah, and I think there's definitely a sense of that.
I approve. You guys can get together.
Excellent.
So says Darth Fancy Pants.
Yes.
We learn in both trilogies that the Force is passed down through families, mm-hmm. But Jedi aren't, of course, supposed to have attachments. And yet, the first thing Qui-Gon asks is, who was the father? So ignoring all the Immaculate Conception stuff, I've always been fascinated with that of what do you guys think is going on in the Jedi Order when we know it's forbidden, but Qui-Gon's first question is, did you hook up with a Jedi? Or what do you guys make of that sort of loop?
How many people have been in the Jedi Order? It's sort of like abstinence in schools. Like, you can tell people all you want they can't have sex, but they're gonna.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is people with... I don't want to say midichlorians, but people who have force powers sometimes don't become Jedi.
Right.
So there's no reason that you can't pass it down. And part of the thing, it's actually the thing that we wrote in the chapter of the book about Jedi, is that sometimes you can have a relationship without attachment. So, you know, I'm not saying like you just, you know, hook up and then leave.
Hit it and quit it.
But exactly. But I would not sound right saying that. Dark Giggles can't say that.
I jumped on that grenade for you.
Thank you.
No problem, boss.
Thank you. But I feel like you can have a relationship where you're not so grasping. I mean, part of the thing with Padme and Anakin is that it's not a relationship where they're just both existing. Like, there's a tarot card picture. People, I'm going to get so many letters about this. Where there are two people walking together, holding hands. They're not looking at each other because they don't have to. It's not that, like, grasping kind of love. So there have been, in Jedi history, relationships where it has worked out, where it isn't, you know, like, both of you understand that, like, your job comes first, that kind of thing.
So there are the Jedi who are in for a while and they decide, hey, it's not for me, I don't want to be a Jedi. They're out there.
Yeah.
There are Force-sensitive people who have never been identified for some reason. Mm-hmm. But then, do you think that there is a wink, wink, nod, nod in the Jedi code of, like, don't make attachments, but if you're lonely and on an Outer Rim planet and things happen, so be it. I mean, don't tell Yoda and everything's cool.
Don't tell Yoda.
If they're in the habit of sending prepubescent boys off with attractive women to be alone in a house on a distant planet with no one else around and just assume nothing's going to happen, I mean, they're pretty much asking for it.
I think the dark side has clouded Yoda's ability to be aware that sex exists.
I mean, if that sort of thing is a big Jedi test, I'm guessing a lot of people have failed it.
Yeah, that's the thing about tests. You can pass, but you can also fail.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And I mean, I think there were a couple instances of Jedi who were given dispensation to marry. It can happen. Like Leia didn't become a Jedi.
Well, we don't know.
Well, no, that's true.
Or
that's true.
Did she?
Yeah.
But up to the point where we know.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fascinating thing in The Force Awakens if we get any, if it's just left alone, or if we get a backstory that, like, I dabbled in it and it wasn't for me. I'm sticking to what I know. I'm sticking to politics and running the government. And,
yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, if she doesn't end up becoming a Jedi, they do say, oh, there's another.
Yeah.
So
I mean, she's clearly Force sensitive. We see that in multiple ways.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but she doesn't have the sex restrictions.
Cool. And just quick answer on this, because we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but I feel remiss. In honor of Ken Napzok, do you guys think that Qui-Gon and Padme hooked up? Jenna?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon would not be
one
of the ones to stray. He's got his orders and he's fine with it.
I will respectfully but very strongly disagree.
Oh God.
Yes.
No, that's cool.
I'm gonna clip together a little montage of Qui-Gon and Padme and send it to you guys.
Okay.
Is a forbidden attachment over email. And you watch the look between those actors' eyes. You want to talk about chemistry.
Oh.
Well, chemistry's a-poppin'.
Now we know why Anakin's so possessive by the end, because he already knows she's been dipping into Qui-Gon.
No, he doesn't know at all. He doesn't know at all. We've spent a lot of time on this in the last couple weeks on the podcast, so we'll move on from this one. It's well covered, but I feel very, very strongly about this. So how do you guys think romance works in the dark side? Do you think a Sith can be in love?
Yes.
Nope.
See, I say yes.
Controversial.
Yeah. No, I say yes because part of the Sith Jedi thing is that Jedi focus on non-attachment. The Sith, like, it's logic ruling rather than passion, whereas you have the Sith where passion rules everything.
Right. They want to hold things and control them.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's healthy love.
So it's a probably really bad relationship I just described the relationship as holding and possessing, and obviously that's terrible.
Or just really, really passionate. I mean, like the first year of a relationship where you're like, I must be with that person all the time. And that doesn't always go away. And I think that sometimes your focus, and it's difficult when your profession is Jedi, but I think sometimes your focus is that person. And some, like, you've all met couples where they've got kids, but you can tell, like, their focus is just on each other.
Yeah.
That's maybe a little more intense than that, but I absolutely think that they could.
Yeah. How about you? You think that
I respectfully disagree. I just think they're spending too much time trying to take over everything to really. I just don't think they have that ability.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't see Palpatine like up in his chair like, okay, destroy them. Destroy. I should really call Lisa back.
You said Lisa with one syllable, and he would add several syllables.
Lisa.
But maybe he tried to call Lisa back, and Lisa didn't want to talk to him. Yeah. He got pissed off because he was in love with her.
And then the galaxy is in shambles.
Exactly.
Damn, yeah, Lisa. I don't think it's obviously not romantic love, but I think there are signs of Palpatine caring for Vader. Like, he touches him so tenderly when he picks up Anakin's broken body from Mustafar. There's that nice little tender touch of like, oh, my buddy. Aww. And that's one of my favorite things to think about, and I hope we get to see more of Vader and Palpatine in the space between the prequel and the original trilogy, just hanging out.
Like, where Rose,
what
did
the, yeah, what yeah. Uh-huh. I think hey, that bro. Vader does a lot of listening and nodding as Palpatine just rants and rants.
Yes, yes, my lord. Uh-huh.
Just breathing. Cool.
Oh, God.
So we talked a little bit about romance in The Force Awakens. You guys are interested in seeing that. My final romance question for you guys: which Star Wars character would you want to date personally?
Han Solo. I kind of am dating him.
Okay. So you feel like your boyfriend has qualities, your partner has qualities of Han Solo.
Yeah.
Is it mostly a lot of vests? Does he wear vests?
He does not wear... No, he does. He has had vests. No, he's roguish.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And is that one of the things that attracted you to him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, like I said, our first date involved Star Wars toys, and he said he could out-nerd me before we actually met in person. So, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. And he's come close. And when he told me that he had two swords and two lightsabers in his house, and I was like, I have two swords and two lightsabers in my house. And now we have a fifth lightsaber. It's
to represent your union.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, that was from the Star Wars concert at San Diego, but I needed another one.
Excellent.
I did.
Excellent. Don't we all? Joe, who would you date?
Mara Jade.
Nice.
I have a weakness for redheads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a strong, badass, kick-ass lady.
Yeah.
I dig it.
And she has a really interesting past, having been through all this darkness and, mm-hmm. and coming to the light.
She's coming to light. She, you know, she's got sarcasm, which I'm kind of a fan of. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not even into that. I like me some Mara.
Nice. I tried to look really honestly at the characters in the Star Wars universe that have matched my own choices, both good and bad. I'm happily married now. Before I was married... I dated, not all of the people I dated, but many of the people I should say I tried to date were people who were just very difficult, where it seems like you're going to have that spark of conflict that leads to real fun. And no, it's just a lot of conflict.
It's just, hate you. No,
not all those people, but it was when I made poor dating decisions, it was that sort of like, ooh, there's this exciting conflict. I can make it work. And the person that seem most like that to me is Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
That she is a complicated person.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her own stuff going on. She's got her own baggage going on. And that was always the thing with me of is women who, like, they probably weren't in a place to be in a relationship. They had their own baggage they were working through. And I was sort of like, let's hang out. Well, I'll make a lot of jokes and everything will be... And I can just imagine Asajj Ventress being like, okay, no. No. This isn't going to work for me, Scrimshaw.
Were you using that voice when you asked? Because I might have...
Yes.
That, I could have just cracked the code.
I tried to avoid that.
Okay.
I've made many, many mistakes.
Because, you know, you got some good bass on your voice. I would hate you like, so, hello.
He's Mickey Mouse. That's
yeah, my voice used to climb octaves when speaking to ladies. It's a natural thing. But no, I'm happily married now. I've been married for almost 9 years now. And I think there are many things about my wife that are Princess Leia-like, but the Princess Leia answer always seems like it is the truth. It's the yeah. So I wanted to have a slightly more yeah. fun. So I think the other Star Wars character that my wife is a little bit like is a much younger Mon Mothma.
Ooh, I like Mon Mothma.
There you go.
Because yeah. my That's wife cool. really stately. Has her stuff together. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's stately. Yes. My wife is a dancer, awesome. So she has great posture. And
she
Mon Mothma mm-hmm. has great posture, and she's very good at giving presentations. And, you know, Mon Mothma gives, like, the most interesting PowerPoint presentation ever.
Oh, yeah.
And I think my wife does too. Yeah. So I'm very, very happy with that. Okay, so we are running low on time. So we are going to go into Duel of the Fates. So we're going to review from last week. Can we get our Duel of the Fates music? Excellent.
That's
the traditional Duel of the Fates dance. Please do the traditional.
Yes.
There's a dance now. See, Ken never had a dance. Things are different.
There's all the sexiness that I was looking for in this podcast. Yep, and your dance, Joe Ruggiero.
You like that, right?
Yeah,
it was nice.
I really did.
It was nice.
So last week's Duel of Fates question was, which bounty hunter is actually a better bounty hunter? Not who's cooler, but who do we see doing a better job between Jango and Boba Fett? So before I reveal what the audience thought, what do you guys think?
Ooh.
Who is demonstrably a better? Joe is wearing a Boba Fett t-shirt.
Yeah.
So, again, is it just because he's cooler, or does he actually do a better job being a bounty hunter on screen?
I mean, he catches the dude he's going after.
That's true.
And delivers him to the person who paid him to capture him.
That's true.
That is collecting.
I'm no expert on bounty hunting, but I'm fairly certain those are the steps to being a good one: is catching and delivering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm
he is not only a bounty hunter, he's a bounty catcher.
Yes. He hunts, he catches, he delivers, he stays and hangs out and watches the Rancor eat people. So
all right, how about you, Jenna? Boba or Jango?
I'm going to go with Boba.
You got it. You got to do Boba.
I have a helmet in my trunk. I can't say anything else. I'm not actually kidding.
Are you a murderer, or why do you have it in your trunk?
In there too. Well, actually, one time I turned it upside down with water in it. There's not a head in it. No, I used to actually water my dog with it upside down when we go hiking, and people thought I was crazy. But you know, they're probably right.
Excellent. So it was very, very close. The fans voted in a comment thread on Facebook, which you can for this week's Duel of the Fates as well. And Jango won by one vote.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very hotly contested. Three different fans pointed out that Boba is a clone, so a vote for Boba is a vote for Jango.
That is a
That's a good point.
Yep.
I thought that was
very
clever.
Like that.
Yeah. And then a lot of it came down to what you guys were talking about, the actual catching of the bounty came up a lot in that Jango, while we see him being successful in many ways, he does not succeed in his job of assassinating Padme, sends somebody else to do it, and they screw up. But then there's a lot of comparing and contrasting of the death scenes. In that Jango is taken out by one of the badass Jedi ever.
Yeah.
And Boba Fett, of course, has...
Not as good.
Yeah. Is bumped by a blind guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I think... Well... I have faith that with all of this material coming out for The Force Awakens, that will be amended.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling Boba's going to be
redeemed.
I think Boba will be back.
He will sell many toys.
And I also wanted to give a special shout-out to Michael Oppenheimer, who just posted a picture of Boba Fett finding Waldo from Where's Waldo?
You've seen the picture where they have Carmen Sandiego and Waldo together at the table.
Yeah.
I found you.
Yeah. So I took that as a vote for Boba. In fact, gave it some extra points.
Yeah.
So the Duel of the Fates for this week that I'd like you guys to weigh in on, and then the audience at home on Facebook, I'll post this later. If Anakin and Padme did not have to hide their relationship, would Anakin still have turned to the dark side?
Mm. I think eventually he may have, but I don't think it would have happened as fast. I mean, because they left his mom on a planet. Nobody in the Jedi Council had enough money to go get her and just, or at least like let him know that she was happily married and all that stuff. I don't know. I think he had a lot of stuff against him already. But it's possible that he wouldn't have. I think she was really the driving force. So I'm kind of split with that one.
Yeah. So you think that the Jedi not helping his mom would have driven him to the dark side?
It could have been one of the things. You're chosen, but we can't help you. But now we will. But I don't know. I think their wishy-washy waffliness was kind of an issue, too. I just think he had enough of a temper and enough issues without that. But I don't think it would have happened anywhere near as soon. And she might have been able to stop him if she didn't have to hide everything.
Okay. How about you, Joe Ruggiero?
Yeah, I think he would. I, you know, Palpatine wasn't going to let him get away. Like, he was going to keep talking in his ear until he got him. I think perhaps it would have been slower. But, yeah, no, he was – the second the Emperor got his claws into him, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Because he's the Emperor.
So yeah. You think the Emperor would have messed with the relationship in other ways if Jedi didn't have a rule against it and they were just out and
– Yeah, he would have figured something out. He would have brought up the – thing with Qui-Gon, like, you know, look at this, I'm just saying.
Did you notice how they look at each other?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I would have loved to see that scene in the opera house where Palpatine's like...
Yeah, so I think Palpatine would have found a way to... I mean, that's why he's the Emperor, because he finds a way.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think that is a big part of his fall, of that being forced... He kind of deals with a lot of the things that the Jedi tell him not to do that are upsetting, like his mom's death. But I think it is really that sort of that inability to just live his life the way that he wants to, in that, you know, he would have had much more support from Obi-Wan if this wasn't a sort of contentious, secretive thing. That feeling of Obi-Wan is maybe going behind his back to meet with Padme, all that, like, maybe Obi-Wan would have been able to be there for him and would have been able to make Palpatine's job much, much harder. So,
well, also, maybe if he didn't have to hide it and then had kids, sometimes that changes people too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then he could have just had the kids. Then all of the memes in all of the storybooks about Darth Vader as a dad would have actually come true.
That's true.
Cool. So that is the question of Duel of the Fates for this week, guys. I will put that up on Facebook, and you can weigh in on if Anakin and Padme didn't have to hide the relationship, would Anakin still have turned to the dark side? We are going to head into our closing. Guys, do you have anything that you want to plug? Tell people where they can find you on social media and anything you want to plug. Joe Ruggiero.
Yeah, they can find me on the tweet machine at JoeRu23. And I want a gif of me doing that stupid dance, so...
Absolutely.
I'm laying down the challenge, people. Make it happen.
The gif challenge.
I like it.
Yeah, just doing the little dance. I'm going to stop doing it now.
Oh, gif's already made.
I know.
Good. All right.
Jen, where can people find you, and what would you like to plug?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Jenna Bush, B-U-S-C-H, like the beer, not the president. I have to say that because I get yelled at a lot for my dad. My dad's really nice. But you can also find me on Most Craved every week. Legion of Leia is at Legion of Leia everywhere. I'd love it if you give us a like. And we just started our Legion of Leia podcast.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. You can find me at Joseph Scrimshaw on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr. And I've got a show coming up. If you live here in Los Angeles, I do a show every month called Comedy Dreamtime. It's at the Nerdist School stage. It is this Saturday at 9 p.m. And one of my guests will be one of our favorite guests here at Jedi Alliance. Mike Black will be doing some stand-up comedy. So please come join us for that. There'll be information on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. Thank you guys so much for watching. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Jedi Alliance. You can watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can see all the awesome Popcorn Talk shows there. You can also catch the Jedi Alliance on iTunes, and please rate and review. You can also visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all of the past episodes of Jedi Alliance. If you want to hear lots of conversations about Qui-Gon and Shmi getting it on,
you
can find those right there. And they're handy links to both the iTunes and YouTube version of those conversations. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.